If you find the information in this program insightful and informative, please consider donating to Knowledge for Life, a nonprofit 501c3. And you can go into the description and click on our Cash App, $KnowForLife, or our PayPal secure link. Thank you for your donation. We appreciate your support.
You are greatly beloved. The God Himself shall come and set the earth for us.
Let's have a round of applause for the messenger of Allah.
Everywhere you hear him, listen to him. Everywhere you see him, look at him. Everywhere he advised you to go, go. Everywhere he advised you to stay from, stay from. So we are thankful to Allah for this great helper of mine, Minister Farrakhan. And I say continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan.
So those of you who thought you would come out here to see a weak, fragile, decrepit Farrakhan, I want you to look again. I'm here and I'm strong. And I will look down on all of my enemies, for he promised me that sit thou at my right hand while I make all your enemies your footstool.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome once again to another installation of the program called My Walk with Jesus as a Muslim. My name is Brother Donnell Muhammad. I am a student in the ministry class under the divine professorship of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the One God, to whom all praises do, we thank Him over and over again for His search among us, finding one worthy among us in the first instance in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his Messiah, his Christ, now Mahdi. And we thank the two of them for the mixing of their spiritual DNA and producing for us one, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we want to thank this one God for fulfilling that scripture that is found in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 27th verse, that says, as lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We present to the world that that one that was to come indeed has come and made his appearance known on July 4th, 1930, in the form of a well-made man by the name of Master Farr Muhammad. Yes, God prepared a body, and he did us one better than he did all of the human family before us. He did not send us just a prophet or a messenger. He came himself, and we will be eternally grateful that he raised one from among us to be a leader, a teacher, a guide, a brother, and a true friend. Now, in the absence of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have with us his Messiah, our Jesus, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet all of you in our nation's greeting of peace, of Assalamu alaikum. We have with us this evening a brother, a friend, a fellow struggler, a student in the ministry class under the divine professorship of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is a longtime student, been in this struggle for a long time. He's only 25 years old, but he's been doing this for about 40 years, I believe, thereabouts. I present to some and introduce to others our brother, our friend, student minister out of Philadelphia, brother student minister Victor Mohammed.
Assalamu alaikum.
And he has produced a victory there in the city. Brother Victor, before we get started, we always ask this question of every guest, and that is, what was it that made you come from whatever background you came from, Christianity, nationalist, whatever, what made you accept the revelation of God to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Minister Farrakhan now, that God is a human being, that God is a man, the black man is God? What made you accept this revelation? What brought you this way?
Well, first, let me make a slight correction. I'm out of Pittsburgh. Our regional city is Philadelphia.
Okay.
With our regional minister, student minister Rodney Muhammad.
Sure.
But what made me come to this is I was born, when I was born, my father joined the nation.
Okay.
Yes, and my mother was a Christian.
Yes.
And I was close to my mother's family. And we went to the mosque, we went to church.
Yes, sir.
There in Indianapolis. And at the age of five, I saw myself bringing Christians and Muslims together because I always felt a divide at my grandmother's dinner table.
Yes, sir.
But as I got older and my parents divorced, I went to church. And I was baptized at the age of nine. And then when I went to move with my father, my stepmother made me go to a Pentecostal church, which really got me strong in biblical recitation.
Praise be.
And when I went back to live with my mother, my stepfather was an ordained, he was being ordained as a minister. And unfortunately, he passed away when I was 13 years old, a few months after being ordained. But I was very active in the church, the youth group. And so I came to this teaching trying to prove my father wrong. But even in trying to prove him wrong, I wasn't trying to join a religion. I just wanted the truth. And once the truth came, there was nothing else I could do because everything that I was hearing from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan corresponded with what I had already learned and was expecting to happen during our lifetime. And I can even remember asking Deacon Moran at Raised Temple Pentecostal Church, well, if God did that for the children of Israel, why won't they do that for us? And since Moses was a prophet, how come the people didn't listen to him? And they couldn't answer those questions. And when I saw the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Donahue, I was in the United States Air Force. And he just dropped it on Donahue 2 days in a row. And 2 weeks later, I was out with an honorable discharge after 9 months of service, going to look for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother, for sharing that story. Now, our question or subject for this evening is a most critical one, because the whole aim and purpose of the man that we have accepted as God's man in our midst is on a mission of which is our sole purpose, the resurrection of.
If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support.
Powerful question.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, we lost you for a second, beloved.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, all of us kind of went into a circle there for a minute.
Right, okay.
But we have a subject before us, which is a part of our sole purpose, and that is the resurrection of the dead. Not necessarily the physical dead, but the resurrection of those of us who are in mental, spiritual, moral, political, economic death. How do you explain, Brother Student Minister Victor, this most critical question in the minds of any spiritual and or religious person? What is the resurrection, Brother Minister Victor?
That's a great question, but I would first, I always want to attack what is death. And if we're talking about a difference between spiritual death and physical death, we should qualify that. And what I mean by that is all of us have these devices, and something is dead when it's not functioning according to its creation. So when we have a cell phone, the Negro has learned to sit next to plugs so he can always revive his phone and get a charge on it so that the phone can work according to its make. When it doesn't work according to its creation, we say the phone is dead. Doesn't mean the phone is not capable. Doesn't mean the phone cannot be revived. And as an electrician, I found that the word surge is in resurrection. So there's a resurgent of the Spirit of God, but our resurgent in that spirit is based off of our natural, as a human being, being able to reflect the power of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and not ask for permission as we come into power.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Did everybody just hear what Brother Student Minister Victor just said about the resurrection and qualifying what it is to be resurrected versus physical death, spiritual death, and then the analogy so beautifully displayed in cell phones, this analogy includes something that all of us are familiar with. And I think that was a beautiful analogy as it relates to both physical and spiritual death. Thank you, Brother Student Minister, for that. In terms of, again, this resurrection and it being one of the main purposes that we discover when we accept Islam as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under Minister Farrakhan's leadership, what does that mean? How do we go about resurrecting people who don't even believe they're dead?
That's the question, basically, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was asked in the courtroom, and the judge told him that it would be like putting pants on an elephant. He said, well, I already have one leg on. The first thing is we must make people see themselves. Are we functioning as a people, or are we functioning from permission from another people? Yeah. And the reality is, if we're functioning from permission of another people, that means, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us, we are emancipated, meaning freed by the hand, but we have not relinquished the shackles of our mind. So because of that, we're not demonstrating the power of the human being as any other people on the earth that can come to this country and make something out of themselves, regardless of the barriers of all the excuses that we use for not getting up out of the dirt. Every time we look at the function of Negro reality, it is something on a low base and based off, again, the permission of this world. Now, our resurrection is in particular specially fixed for us. If we go back to the cell phone analogy, you have to have a charger compatible with your component. Without having a charger that is compliant with your cell phone, then you can have an iPhone, but you got an Android charger, you're still dead. Well, we had a resurrection teaching. We talked about Jesus being the resurrection, the truth, and the life, but it was from a slave experience. So we didn't have the right charger. Right. We didn't have the right product to give us what we needed. So when you hear the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad exemplified and explained so clearly by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you can't help but to hear something that corresponds with your nature. You think like you never thought before. You move like you never moved before. And it so corresponds with your nature that you have to get up and make change in your life. And I learned from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that motion is the first law of the universe.
Yes.
Well, you can't follow something that's not in motion. So in order to convince people, our greatest argument is producing the work, not talking about the work, because something that's not moving can be looked at, can be studied, can be talked about, can be dreamed about, but something in motion can be followed. And when Muslims get up and take the motion of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a Negro can't help but to see a moving reality.
Thank you, Brother Victor. Beautiful, beautiful yet again. I'm going to stop at this point and ask Brother Stephen, either does he have any questions at this time, or are there anybody in the chat that would like to ask our brother, Student Minister Victor Muhammad out of Pittsburgh? I thought when I saw your face, I'm like, Philadelphia, okay, maybe he moved on. I don't know. I noticed sometimes a West Side study group in Philly and the, you know, and Philadelphia proper, but I'm glad you cleared that up. But either way it go, wherever you preaching at, I'm sure it's rocking either way. Pittsburgh, Philly, wherever you at, Allah gonna bless you. So Brother Stephen, do you have any questions for Brother? Are there any questions in the chat?
Yes, sir. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, family. Thank you, Brother Victor, for coming on. And we do have a question in the chat. I have always 1,000 questions, but we're going to bring on Brother Marcel, and he has a question for you, and I'm bringing him on now.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. Beautiful discussion, brother, and I love the analogy of the charger and the phone and the proper device to charge the phone up. My question on resurrection, based on that analogy, what are the essential elements in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that inspires and just magnetically attracts the Black man and woman to the teachings and makes us want to function on this level? What are those essential elements in the teachings that bring us to the nation, but other teachings don't really attract our mind like that, brother?
Oh, that's an excellent question. But I always have to refer it back to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us was in it. And he told us there were three main elements in this teaching, and that's life, light, and power. Now, it's very interesting when we studied the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on Yaqub discovering that opposites attract and likes repel. Because the reality is, this steel is made of the exact same element, yet one has attracting power and one does not. So we should go and discover what makes the magnetic one have the pull over the non-magnetic one. And what we will find by scientific definition is that the magnetic attraction is caused by molecules that are in formation. They're lined up and they are all organized. And the one that does not have pull, all of its element, all of its molecules are scattered and unorganized. But the funny thing is, when it comes into contact with the attractive piece, all of its molecules line up. What am I saying? When the FOI are soldiering in the community, all of a sudden people want to clean up. When the FOI go into a meeting that's out of order, all of a sudden it gets order to it. Why? Because the molecules are organized, the structure that we have. The Holy Quran says the earth is a resting place, the heaven a structure. Because of the structure, we have maintenance of our faith. Most people in this world who want to give up on religion really want to give up in structure, but structure is not restrictive. Structure is protective. And when people see the protection, the security, the organization, and the ability to get things done, it automatically produces a spirit of life, light, and power.
Thank you. Absolutely beautiful. Again, anyone else?
Praise be to Allah.
No other questions right now. I guess I'll go ahead and ask a question. I first wanted to read, if I could, from what the Muslims believe, and then I'll ask the question. I'll read from point number one through point number five. It says that we believe in the one God whose proper name is Allah. We believe in the Holy Quran and the scriptures of all the prophets of God. We believe in the truth of the Bible, but we believe that it has been tampered with and must be reinterpreted so that mankind will not be snared by the falsehoods that have been added to it. We believe in Allah's prophets and the scriptures they brought to the people. And point number five says, we believe
the resurrection
of the dead, not physical resurrection, but mental resurrection. We believe that the so-called Negroes are most in need of mental resurrection. Therefore, they will be resurrected first. Furthermore, we believe we are the people of God's choice, as it has been written that God would choose the rejected and the despised. We can find no other persons fitting this description in these last days more that the so-called Negroes in America, we believe in the resurrection of the righteous. So my first question is, what is the concept of mental resurrection and how does it differ from physical resurrection?
Well, that's a beautiful question because, and I think we always have to answer those type of questions in a matter of time. And this is the reason I'm saying that. A lot of people say time is money, which is not accurate because if you give me a $100 bill and I lose it, I can find that exact $100 bill, but I can't find the time back that I use looking for it. And so the most valuable thing in life is time, because even if I lose my physical life, if someone acts in the right amount of time, they can bring that back. Well, a mental death can last, you can be bought back in a longer period of time than you can from a physical death. Once you're gone, you're gone. But once your brain is sparked, well, maybe it take a little time for you to make the adjustment and to learn how to make your brain stronger in order to live according to the level of a civilized human being. So many people want to degrade the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching to that of black and white, as opposed to civilized and uncivilized, or civilized and savage. See, when we're a mentally resurrected people, we're living in high civilization. We're not eating out of paper wrappers of burgers and greasy fries. We're eating refined food, that which keeps the body nourished and produced. So every aspect of life has to deal with high civilization. We have cut grass, clean yards. We have clean homes. We're teaching our people and our children. We're a demonstration of civilization and everywhere we go, so that no matter where we go on the planet, just by being in this teaching, we have the ability to not only go into a civilization, we have an ability to lead the civilization, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's standard and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan being the standard bearer is high civilization and excellence. Most of us as a people, we are fine living below mediocre. And mediocre only means best of the worst and worst of the best. But if we're refining ourselves with knowledge, culture, wisdom, understanding, and refinement, then we want the best of civilized society. So when we go to point number three of what the Muslims want, we want to live among the best of civilized society. That means we're functioning on all cylinders. What we put into our mind and our body is high octane.
Yes, sir. I guess the second question that I would have from reading that is, why does the statement specify that the so-called Negroes are most in need of mental resurrection. What is the basis for that?
Well, we're watching that every day as people try to take the place of the chosen of God. Mm. Everybody would, there's different aspects to say, yes, God is needed in these people's lives. And we can see that humanity is off course, but no one is off course more than the mentally and spiritually dead who have no power to demonstrate God's power through themselves. So we are most in need of resurrection because we have no point of origin of who we are and where we're from. Even to the fact that some of us say, well, we need to go back to our African wisdom. But the question then is posed, then if African wisdom was adequate, how did we fall victim to the civilization in the first place? Mm. And then number two, before there was an Africa, there was Allah. Before there was a China, there was an Allah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that this whole planet was called Asia at one time. So we want to go back to our point of origin, which is the knowledge and wisdom of God. And once we get that and we are resurrected with that, not only will we become resurrected, we will be the leaders of the new paradigm as we're bringing in a whole new world.
Oh, praise the Lord. Beautiful.
Yes, we just want to let those who are watching to know that if they would like to come on, we're going to put the link into the chat. And if you want to come on live, you can. But if you have any type of question, you can also type those questions in the chat as well.
Yes, sir. Brother Student Minister Victor, in this resurrection process, and when we say we are resurrecting our people from their condition, when you have people say to you, what has the nation done? Where were you at when COVID-19 was in full effect and people were still marching in the streets? Where was the nation at if they are about resurrection, when our people were going through whatever they were going through in these marches and Me Too and Black Lives Matter and all of this murder going on among us? Where was the nation? You talk about resurrection, Brother Minister Victor. Where were you when we needed you the most? Why were you not out there protesting with us?
Well, I was with the best example of divine leadership that the world knows. Because as you take from Minister Farrakhan, but you don't give credit to Minister Farrakhan or help Minister Farrakhan, we're always in effect and ready to help anybody. We made sure that you had access to us because we have a government, and a government is on his shoulders. So our executive council made sure that the Nation of Islam was accessible, that you can get good teaching on the time, give good methods on how to deal in this time. It was our leader under divine guidance that told you not to take the vaccine. So now some of the marchers and the vaccine takers are falling out everywhere. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that it was time for separation. So if this is the time of separation, why are we going and on the gerbil wheel of activism to get off in the same aquarium we started in? All we're doing is getting tired. So the nation is moving forward. And you can tell by the divine guidance of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan laid out in the criterion, what he laid out prior to the criterion of Savior's Day 2020, the unraveling of a great nation. He told you something was coming, but I want to take everybody back to July 2019 when the minister said falsehood is about to do something, and if you're faithful and you hold on, you will make it. Now, how did he know all these things except that he was divinely guided? I was under divine guidance. That's where I was. What did you accomplish by doing all the things that you did?
Yes, sir. Good question. I don't know, brother. I wasn't resurrected yet.
That's fair. I'll tell you what, brother, minister, that a lot of the activists were calling. Yes. Not for me to come out, but for guidance.
Yes, sir. We all got that call.
A lot of disputes that were going on. We were having Zoom calls, settling differences and disputes.
Yes, sir.
Even when there's some accusations. But I didn't want to fight back and forth with them because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us that we don't fight on another man's stage. Right. We don't perform on another man's stage. And right. The next thing you know, they died out and the nation's still relevant.
Yes, sir. That is a fact. That is a fact. In regards to that, brother minister, let me ask you this. In this resurrection process, everything you have shared is spot on in alignment with resurrection. Sometimes our understanding of terms, as we have learned as a result of this new study that we have in our classes, without getting into any detail, mm-hmm. we understand that his guidance in this class is that we have to be very careful about words and language.
Yes, sir.
And once you accept another man's premise, you also end up having to accept his conclusion. So whenever you see a defense attorney, a prosecutor in a court of law, the number one thing the defense attorney has to be able to do, if he's worth his weight in ability, he has to reject the premise of the prosecutor. If the prosecutor says, I'm about to prove that this man was at the scene of the crime with the knife in his hand or the smoking gun in his hand, and therefore that means he killed these people, he has to reject that man's assumption and say, I'm going to prove that he was not only not there, or if he was there, here are the circumstances that put him at the scene of the crime. He can't accept the premise all the way through from the enemy. And that's what has made our people, as you have described earlier, in this mental, spiritual grave. We have accepted line, hook, and sinker, everything that our open enemies have taught us. What should we learn from this, brother minister, in terms of accepting language like resurrection, how we've been totally misguided about it? What would you say to us to help us understand why the way the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad describe resurrection is in fact what resurrection is?
Well, we can go right to our lessons. And we're taught that no one can successfully teach a people that does not properly teach or speak the people's language. Then we can go to the scripture. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then when we go down to verse 12, it says, and then the Word became flesh. So we have to get out of the past tense and get into a present reality. Now, I like what you said about fighting, because it is true in every aspect and avenue of battle. The football team, when Deion Sanders' team was winning 29-0 at halftime, well, they were playing their game. When they lost, they were playing the other team's game. When we see a fighter in the ring, and they tell him to fight within himself. Don't fight the other fighter's fight. If you're not a brawler, then be a boxer. If you're not a boxer, then be a brawler. Whatever it is, we have to fight our fight. Unfortunately, though, we take words for granted that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad presented us with. For a man not to go past the third grade and to be able to be so specific with words, and we take these words for granted, no one but God could have taught him. Too many of us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that Moses taught the devil the forgotten trichnology, but he taught them how to live a respectable life. Moses never taught them how to live a righteous life. So some of us who come into the teaching, we've accepted a respectable life and stop moving to the next gear of the righteous life.
Yes, sir.
Respectable will get you in the vicinity of righteousness, but righteousness will lead you into a new reality.
Yes.
When we settle for a respectable life, we'll say, well, I got my own business. I'm doing for self. But when we have a righteous life, we'll say, my business backs our nation. My business moves our nation forward. My life, my death, my prayer, my sacrifice is all for Allah, the Lord of the world. So when we have that mindset, then we are fighting for Islam and we will surely win.
Yes, sir. Excellent. Excellent. Brother Stephen, is there anyone on the line that wishes to ask a question? Because me and Brother Vision can kick it like this all night.
Right. No doubt. Yeah. No
we'll
doubt.
Leave we all have y'all out. See, the yeah. black skinheads, we own it, man. We own it.
Yes, sir. We have a brother, and I'll bring him on. Go right ahead, brother.
Go right ahead, brother. Have a question. Have a question.
I'm sorry. I think I lost my connection.
Okay. No, you. We can hear you.
Okay. No, you. We can hear you.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah, my name is Omar Wale. So, assalamu alaikum to Student Minister Darnell, Student Minister Victor, and all the other brothers and sisters out there. I'm an old head. I consider myself an old head. I'm 65. I've been in this struggle for a long time. I go back with the nation many years ago, but I'm no longer a member. I was never officially a member.
Go ahead, my brother. I think you kind of faded out on the verbal side.
Right.
Yeah.
If he comes back, brother, if you can get him back, brother Stephen, help him. If not,
okay. Some back on, brother, and we'll definitely get you on. We have another question. I'll take him off for a second.
Okay.
And we have another question from Brother Rodney.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rodney. Brother Rod in the knee.
How are my brothers this evening?
Fine, sir.
This question is actually from Sister Andrea. She sends the greetings, and she says that family division was mentioned earlier in this discussion, and you stated your desire to bring Christians and Muslims together. Can you give an example of what or how you are doing this in your community?
Yes, well, that's a great question. I've done some things with the Black Christians, and believe it or not, there was a time where they had me at the theological seminary, and the Black Christian pastors told some members of the Jewish community, if you don't want our brother, you don't want us. We're working our own silo. I've had pastors bring me into their churches to do their Sunday sermons, and able to, you know, teach the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on a Sunday service, doing community events together and having a fellowship together. In fact, if you heard about a gunman that went to a church in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, that pastor reached out to me, and I helped him through that process. So I have a great friendship and relationships with pastors who love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his representation of the Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right. With Brother Omar Wale, the elder, was able to get back?
Yes, sir. We're going to bring him on now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. We can see you, too.
All right. I'm at work. I'm about to close up, y'all. I just wanted to know, like, I see a lot of young people out here. They're struggling. They're grinding. They're trying to work, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, so to speak. Some of them working two jobs, paying high rent. Some of them don't have cars and using public transportation. I wish that I was in a position. I feel that if we could better reach them, if we can employ them and they wouldn't have to be slaves for the you know who man. How do we, I know back in the day the nation had a lot of businesses and the restaurants and the farms, and how do we get back to that level so that we can take these brothers and sisters out of this misery that they're in, so to speak, and then they'll be more receptive to the message. Because if you ain't got no funds, no dollars, they ain't trying to hear you, you know, for the most part, at least me.
Yes, no, sir. Good question, brother.
That's an excellent question.
Brothers, 2 minutes to Victor. Yes, sir.
But
thank you, brother.
The reality is, beloved, and thank you for your question. The reality is, in the early days, the believers had businesses, and they set up their business to push their nation as a bearing of witness to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have to leave do for selfish and get back into do for self. The minister asked a question during Savior's Day. He said, you may be doing good, and that's good for you and your family. But what about the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of your people that need your help? See, we have to think nation. Well, one of the requirements of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the early days was that Muslim children went to the Muslim school in their homes, take them out of the devil's school. Everyone, a lot of people in the Black community are so spiritual, they're dead. Because a spirit without a body is a ghost. Mm. So when you don't have a body and a group and a structure behind you, you say you're spiritual, but the only time we're spiritual when it comes to forgiving white supremacy, because if a Negro do something to us, all that spirit then went out the window. So the reality is we really must get our children out of our enemy school and think nation. Our households are split up because this one got this activity in the world. That one got this activity in the world. And not saying that we can't enhance through activities, but all of our activities must become nation-based. And when we start putting our people first and we become servants of our people, instead of just always asking our people for money or support, and they can get a full experience, a holistic experience of a social life, a spiritual life, a business life, an education life, they will see that motion moving forward, and everybody then will want to be on that winning team.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Student Minister Victor, for that. Brother Stephen, are there any follow-up questions?
Yes, sir.
Here? We're getting close to the top of the hour.
Yes,
I see Brother Marcel is back.
Go right ahead, brother.
You got to unmute yourself, Marcel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful topic. Beautiful discussion, my brothers. For further clarification on the understanding of resurrection, mental, moral, and spiritual resurrection of us as a people, why is it so important that in resurrection, we must know the knowledge of the time and what must be done? Why is that such a critical component and germane to understanding resurrection?
That's a great question, but I take you back to that term paper you had due at the beginning of the semester. As long as the semester was going on, you waited and you waited and you waited, but when it was time for it to be due, man, you hurried up and did all you could to get that paper done. Well, this is how we're treating our life. We treat our lives as if we got time, we got time, we got time. And from the slave master's teaching that taught us our reward would be after we died, we always figured that whatever we do here was already covered by Jesus, so we don't have to do nothing, which was one of the greatest welfare mentality teachings there ever was. Because then you didn't have to do anything. Jesus did it all for you. So it is important to know the time, and you can only know the time by the timekeeper, who is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Why? Because when he did the time and what must be done, he said, we're not talking about the changing of a clock, nor are we talking about the changing of seasons, but we're talking about the changing of worlds.
Right.
So as one world goes out, another one comes in. So if you go to chapter 3 of the Fall of America, I believe it's called The Dawn of a New Day. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the fall of one nation makes room for another. Said all nations are limited upon the face of the earth except the original nation that undergoes the necessary renewals and changes. So if you don't know the time and you don't know it's time to renew yourself, you won't change and you'll put yourself in a position to dig your own grave.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come Thank on, you. Man. Excellent. Beautiful. Excellent.
It'd be too long.
Any other questions in the chat, Brother Stephen? Do you have any more?
Yes, sir. I just go
in on him. I'm go in on him, man.
I know we're getting close to the bottom of the hour, but if I could just read just a little bit from the study guide, and I'll go ahead and put it up real quick. And then if you could, there we go, answer this question. It says, each study session is designed on the guidance of Allah to produce self-examination, self-analysis, and self-correction, and to quicken in each of us the self-accusing spirit. For it is only when we are awakened morally that we have to face the self-accusing spirit, which leads to our resurrection. Resurrection is the process that begins with the self-accusing spirit and does not end until we become one in perfect harmony with Allah and His creation. So my question is, what is the significance of the self-accusing spirit in the process of resurrection, and how does it play a role in awakening an individual's morality?
Mm, praise be to Allah. That's such a great question. And let's go back into the words. Let's lift the words and the method of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Because if we're not careful, an examination and analysis almost look the same. They appear to be the same, but they're really not. So in order to, when we first go to the doctor, that's an exam. Then they say, okay, well, we need a blood sample. From that blood sample, an analysis is made. From that analysis, that's when the treatment is recommended. You have high cholesterol, you have high sugar levels, or you have high blood pressure. And it's from that analysis, now the corrective action can be taken, and then there comes self-correction. Well, when we came to the mosque, it was an examination of our circumstance. It was an examination of how we were living life. And a sample of our thinking is taken. Now it's under the microscope. So when you go further into the study guides, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talks about the defect. When you see a defect in self, he said, don't run away from it. Treat it as a valuable piece of gold, because now you done found the answer to your problem. And once we find the answer to that, now we can make corrections. The problem is we are not personal when it comes to self-improvement. When I conduct the study circle, I say, get rid of all the pronouns of we, them, they, us, those, and just start getting a little selfish now and do me, myself, and I, because it's the self-accusing spirit. And, you know, if the self-accusing spirit, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, is the messenger of God. But we got to be careful to be self-accusatory, because another accuser is called devil. And that's the one that causes us to fight and kill one another. But the self-accusing spirit finds the devil of self and murders him. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us Savior's Day 2019 in the Laborers Meeting, if you can control the devil within, then the Satan on the outside cannot get to you.
Yes, sir. That's what he said.
Man.
That's what he said.
Powerful, beautiful, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Minister Victor, in this closing last 3 minutes here, could you give us a summation of what it is we should take from this presentation, specifically as it relates to all of the beautiful things you made, culminated compile it into a sum total of what pieces in this concluding moments we should take from and think about as it relates specifically to resurrection.
Well, praise be to Allah. Let me thank you both, Brother Donnell, Brother Minister Donnell, Brother Stephen. Thank y'all so much for having me, first and foremost, because anytime I can talk on Islam, I'm full of life, light, and power. I was doing a sheriff review in regards to Brother Richard Roundtree, so I was all day today since after my lecture. So you brought me back.
Well, but, I need to get on that shaft review myself. Look out now.
Because even in the shaft in Africa, the man said to the Caucasian, you were still living in the hills and cave sides when we were bringing resurrection, when we were bringing civilization. That's so, right. I mean, there's a lot of things, but if there was anything to take away from this, in my judgment, we can go to closing the gap, where the minister taught us the value of conversation. See, when you have men conversating on the highest wisdom ever revealed, it's called supreme wisdom, then we can go back and forth in an even exchange of ideas for growth and development.
Yes, sir.
And once we have that talk, see, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us in the Swan Song, we're going to have to guard our ears because there's so many things going on. And I did a series called Weapons of Mass Distraction. When we don't have the right word in our ear, we don't have the right thought in our mind, then we're not involving ourselves in resurrection. We're really involving ourselves in plateauing. We don't want to plateau. We want to keep climbing. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, this work is like pushing a big boulder up a steep hill. You can stop for a fraction of a second, but after that, the boulder is going to keep come back and roll you over. So we better just keep on pushing, elevating ourselves in high conversation. Look at universal principles that allow us to be on the top of civilization so that the Black man will provide a nation for the Black woman who can sit on top of the world and tell the world the best nation is here in the wilderness of North America.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, brother, for that summation. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. And I pray that Allah will continue to bless you in your efforts. Thank you for your story of your coming into the nation. Thank you for having in you that Allah put in you the desire to help bring Christians and Muslims together. And based on what you have shared with us, it sounds like Allah is assisting you in the continuation of that desire because it was a righteous desire. In fact, it was in alignment with the desire of God for us through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brother, may you be blessed. Thank you again for honoring us. We will have you back again, inshallah. Brother Stephen, you can take it away.
All right. Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and being a part of this program. And it's an interactive program, so you are always welcome, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Christian, whether you are what they call the nuns, those who have just dropped out of believing anything at all. But you want to ask a question. Do not feel that you are entering into enemy territory by coming on this program. No question is off limits, except if it's a disrespectful question. So please come on back every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with My Walk with a Jesus as a Muslim. And we want to leave you and we want to ask you to go to NOI.org and listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's statement. As you all may have heard, that the minister and the Nation of Islam has filed a lawsuit against the ADL and the Simon Wiesenthal Center. So go to NOI.org and look at the minister's 17-minute statement on that lawsuit. And may God continue to bless you and your family with the light of truth and understanding. Assalamu alaikum. You gotta have it. 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 You gotta have knowledge for life. You gotta have it. You gotta have it. You gotta have knowledge for life. Thank you for listening to this very informative, insightful program. Please follow, like, and share with family, friends, and associates. Come back every week for a new episode of Knowledge for Life's podcast.